Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
What a faithful God we serve. What a faithful God we serve. Hallelujah. There is none like Him. To know Him. In fact, there's a song that says, to know Him is to love Him. Can you say amen? From the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, reading the first four verses from the New King James Translation. 2 Timothy chapter 2, reading verses 1 through 4. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That is not the crux of my message, but boy, there's a powerful message right there. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Father, I'm nothing, but I thank you for the anointing upon your word, and I pray that it will accomplish what you please, and we will give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Memorial Day weekend was a special occasion growing up in the Dempsey Nip household. When I was a child, we never went on vacations. I'm not sure if I even knew what a vacation was when I was growing up. But every Memorial Day weekend, we drove just south of Ironton, Ohio, to stay with my grandparents or some of our relatives, because it was an annual trip to Buckhorn Mountain on Memorial Day, on that Monday. And Buckhorn was somewhere in Kentucky. I don't even know to this day where it's at. I quit going when I moved away from home. But we literally would go into a farmer's field and go up on this mountain. And on top of that mountain, we put flowers on the graves of loved ones I never met and never knew. The trip for me was not about putting flowers on the graves. That was for the adults. The trip for me was spending a weekend away from home and seeing cousins and friends that I didn't see any other time of the year but on Memorial Day. And so we would gather together, and besides the somber time when we're on the mountain, we weren't allowed to joke or anything up there. You couldn't hardly even smile. You just, you know, put flowers on the grave and maybe even said a prayer. But during the rest of that weekend, as kids, we were playing tag, we were playing ball, we were playing hide and go seek, and we were just having a good time. There was always lots of food when the family gets together. Church families are kind of like that too, aren't they? You know, if we don't overindulge, it's not a sin to eat. And so, man, we just like to eat. We get together and break bread, and we certainly did on those weekends. That besides all of the games that we played, one of the things that the kids like to do is listen to the stories of the adults, to the grandpas and grandmas that talked about days far beyond beyond us, and about things that they endured and things that they went through. And it was always interesting just to listen to those stories and their life experiences. It was during these pilgrimages that I learned the ability to remember is a wonderful gift from God. Through memories, we can become children again. Through memories, we can enjoy moments of our lives. In fact, only through memories can we relive those moments. Through memory, we can hit that home run again. We can score that touchdown. We can make that basket. We can experience the first kiss all over again. We can experience falling in love. For some of us, in and out a few times in our teenage years. But through memories, we experience these things that from childhood that were so now precious and so wonderful and so good. Memories can be absolutely magical. In fact, one of the great things about going on vacation is creating memories. With my family, when we went on vacations, that's one of the things we talked about. Hey, Let's go create some memories. You've heard me say several times in the past that when we had very little money at Christmas time even, and I gave my children a choice. I said, you know, you can get X amount of gifts for X amount of money, you know, or we can go to a Holiday Inn with a holodome and we can have a weekend swimming in the pool. And when you're in Colorado and there's 2 feet of snow on the ground, you know, going someplace where you can swim in a pool and play games and stuff was awesome. I don't even know if they have those holodomes anymore. I don't hear about them, but back then, and my kids would always say, let's go create some memories. They would rather us find a special somewhere and go where we could be together and have fun together. That was always greater than just getting gifts. The current NIP family, at least the Ohio NIPs, are planning on getting together tomorrow, and we are definitely going to eat, and we will probably play some games. And without doubt, it doesn't matter when we get together, we are laughing at each other or with each other, or, you know, all the time as we reminisce, as we think about things that are in the past. Sometimes as an adult, I learn about memories I didn't know even existed, but my children tell me things now because they know they're too big to be whipped. Although my mother never thought that. I can remember my mother chasing my brother Jimmy around the kitchen with a broom. He was already married, had children. But she thought he sassed him, and she's chasing him around with the broom, and the rest of us are all standing there laughing. We thought it was hysterical, you know. And he finally grabbed the broom and got her to calm down so he could apologize. I don't know that he even said anything that he should apologize for, but... Well, men, you know how that is. We learn to apologize to women all the time for things we don't know what we did. You know, it's just a part of life, and life goes better that way. Say amen, men. Amen. So tomorrow, I'm sure that we're going to spend some time laughing about past memories. Memories can be so powerful and so inspirational and so encouraging. Now, not all memories are positive. Although sometimes we can look back and laugh at situations that weren't laughable at the time. But even painful memories can be practical. We learn lessons from our failures, from our sufferings, from things that happened to us. We can learn a great deal about ourselves, and we can learn a great deal about others, and we can learn a great deal about life because of memories, even painful memories. And they can certainly motivate us toward a different future. I would imagine that probably the majority of you that are here at some point in your life said, I'm going to have a better marriage than my parents did. I'm going to do it different. And I'm going to raise my children in a certain way, and not like everybody. I mean, you know, we make all of these statements, and then sometimes we have to ask for forgiveness later on because we realize life is harder than we thought. When you grow up, you find out it's a whole lot harder than you think. And it's important to understand that memories remind us of things that can often be valuable, valuable lessons. And certainly, there are some things that we should never forget, and one of them is Memorial Day, because we must never forget those who sacrificed so much for us. And in fact, for those that are still sacrificing. This special day, Memorial Day, started near the end of the Civil War and within a few years, the practice of placing flowers on military graves had spread from the North and the South. And everyone called it Decoration Day. I'm actually old enough to remember my parents in my early years calling it Decoration Day. And I just knew it as Memorial Day. But it was in remembrance of those who had died serving our nation. Although it has also come to be a day where we remember loved ones, whether they've served in the military or not, who have died and who have passed on and who have finished their race here. And so if you go by a graveyard on the day after Memorial Day, you will see lots and lots of flowers. And all of them are not for soldiers. All of them are not for servicemen or women, but all of them are for someone who is loved and is missed. While President Lyndon Johnson in 1966 declared the birthplace of Memorial Day was Waterloo, New York, it would be difficult to actually prove that conclusively, because there was a hymn published in 1867. The name of it was Kneel Where Our Loved Ones Are Sleeping. And it was written by Nella M. Sweet. I have no idea what the melody was to that one. Probably pretty somber. But it was dedicated to, and I quote, the ladies of the South who are decorating the graves of the Confederate dead. Memorial Day was officially proclaimed May 5th of 1968 by General John Logan, the National Commander of the U.S. Army. And the first state to officially recognize the holiday was New York in 1873. Think about that. 145 years later, we are still honoring our servicemen who have died in the service of our nation. 145 years later, we are reminded of our fallen heroes, 650,956 deaths and 1,431,661 wounded from the Revolutionary War through the Vietnam War of 1964 through 75. I don't have current statistics for all of those in Desert Storm and all of the skirmishes since then, but I'm sure that it's thousands upon thousands who have given their lives, some of them still living, and yet they have given their lives because of what they've been through. They will never be the same again. And some of them are physical injuries, and some of them are emotional injuries and psychological injuries. I talked to Les the other night at the men's outing, which, by the way, we had, I think, 22 or 23 men here and had an awesome time. Thank you, Alan. But at the end, I was saying that I wanted to honor our servicemen. And I know when I pastored in Colorado years ago, they were a couple guys who were Vietnam vets who will never recover without the grace of God psychologically from some of the things that they went through in that very tragic war. But they paid the price because their nation asked them to. And we can debate about war, about the necessity of war, about the purposes of war. But one thing is for sure, those who went gave their lives, and they gave them as faithful citizens of this country and of this nation. I want to read something to you. I never served in the military, but I want to read something to you this morning. It says, these are characteristics of a good soldier. And I found them online, and I was so impressed by them that I want to share them with you. It says, a good soldier does not. I don't know why most of this is things they don't do, but maybe it's because that's where we recognize most of our differences. A good soldier does not lag behind. A good soldier does not shrink his duty. A good soldier does not seek to escape the battle. A good soldier does not refuse to carry his load. A good soldier does not give in to the enemy. A good soldier does not deny the cause. A good soldier does not reject the commands. A good soldier does not hide from the toil or the labor. And good soldiers are willing to sacrifice for the cause. I thought about that, and although I've never been in the military, I would suggest to you that those are pretty good characteristics of a Christian. Hello? Someone who loves God and who has enlisted in God's army, not lagging behind, not shirking duty, not trying to escape the battle, not refusing to carry the load, not giving in or giving up to the enemy, not denying the cause, not rejecting commands, and not hiding from service or hardship or responsibility. A good soldier is willing to suffer for the cause. And as we honor our heroes this Memorial Day, I would suggest to you that we also recognize the greatest hero of all. I believe, based upon those characteristics, we could say Jesus was a good soldier. Amen. Jesus of Nazareth met all the criteria that I put on that board. All of the criteria of being a good soldier. Soldiers often endure unimaginable hardships. Sacrifice is a normal part of their lives. Jesus' sacrifice for us is really unimaginable. We can't even begin to imagine what it would be like to be limitless and to be in eternity without time, to be with the Father and the Holy Spirit, enjoying the very best of whatever heaven is to enjoy. We can't even imagine that. Even now, when we try to think about what heaven is like, it is hard for us to imagine it. I know we can read about the New Jerusalem and about the gates of pearl and the streets of gold and some of those things, but we can't even imagine what it would be like to living in a place where there is no sin whatsoever. No sin. Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit is not cruel when they keep heaven pure. Sin cannot enter in there because then it would not be heaven. So we can't even imagine someone living in that kind of utopia saying, Father, I want them to have what we have. I want them to enjoy what we enjoy. I want them to spend eternity with us. Therefore, I will leave all of this. Hey, America's a great place to live, but it's not utopia. And some of our soldiers have left America and gone and fought in other fields only to come back and be spit on and rejected and ridiculed. They didn't come back to a utopia even after giving the sacrifice of their time and of their lives. Sometimes their limbs for the cause. But we can't imagine what it would be like to be Jesus, to be in a, we can't even call it a world. We don't even know how to describe it. But to be existing in a sinless society with thousands and thousands of worshipers who were created to do nothing but tell of your glory. That's what he left. And although we cannot adequately imagine that, we can certainly come to the conclusion that we can't understand it totally. But he left all of that. If he had never gone through the sufferings, if he had never gone through the beatings, if he had never been nailed to a cross, if he had never suffered as he suffered, if he had never been spit on, if he never went through the things that we do know that he went through, the agony and suffering must have been, it would have been for us intolerable. When you think about what he gave up and what he left in order to come into this world because he loved us. We can't comprehend it because we can't understand it. And yet, he endured all of that. He enlisted in an army of one to come into the world and stand alone and pay the price. He endured sin as none of us even have ever endured sin, because he took upon him the sins of the whole world. I struggle dealing with my own past and the sins that I had committed that are already under the blood, and the devil keeps trying to remind me of them, and I keep reminding him, no, they're under the blood, they're under the blood. But to imagine the sins of the entire world, every atrocity that we could even think of, he bore that sin. He who knew no sin. The Bible says God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That in itself should make every one of us want to slap ourselves in the face and say, straighten up and live right. Because this isn't any game. The God who created the universe died so that we could be righteous. And we want to excuse our sins. He paid it all for us. He paid it all for us. So so that we might become the righteousness of God. Galatians 4:4-5 says, God sent his son to redeem those under law that we might receive the full rights of sons. He not only died so that we could be forgiven of our sins, he died so that we could be like him, so that we could be a son of God and a daughter of God. Think about that for a moment. Many a good soldier has died just to give people an opportunity and a chance to live. And that is exactly what Jesus did. Only we're talking about eternal life. He gave it all so that we would have the opportunity to have eternal life and to not simply exist, but to be part of the family. There's been a lot of soldiers that have given their lives and never felt like they were part of the family. That Jesus died so that we could not simply survive, but so that we could be engrafted into the family of God. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I would have no problem giving my life for people I love. He gave his life for everybody he loved when the majority of them didn't even know who he was. His own disciples, until after the resurrection, didn't really know who he was. But he gave his life so that we could live and have life. That was the greatness of his love. Many a soldier has paid the ultimate price for temporal freedom, but Jesus paid the price for our eternal freedom. And just as we all have a responsibility to continue paying the price for freedom because we know that freedom isn't free, we must also continue to share in the sufferings of Christ for the benefits of others. We don't serve just for our own benefit. But we serve for the benefit of others. How do we do that? Well, the Bible says we do that by becoming a living sacrifice, that through our love and devotion to the cause of Christ in this world, we make a difference in the lives of others. We not only honor him by our remembrance, but we honor him by serving his purpose and his cause in our lives. For Ephesians 2:10 said, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. If you don't know what God has prepared for you to do, then you need to start seeking him and find out. Because there's a purpose and a plan for your life. And the chances are, if you're miserable, then you're not doing it. If you have no peace, then there's a reason why. Because when we are in God's will, doing and fulfilling his purpose and in obedience to him, and remember, partial obedience is not obedience, it's disobedience. But when we're doing what God has called us to do, it doesn't mean there's no strife. It doesn't mean that there's no war going on. But it means that there is a peace that you have in your heart that anxiety cannot touch. Well, that's easy for you to say. Well, we all have a race to run and burdens to bear and crosses to carry. And just because it looks like somebody else's life is easier than yours, don't fool yourself. We can sit in church on a Sunday and just look cool. And that's okay. But it doesn't mean our life is easy. But it doesn't mean our life is a failure either. The struggles that we go through are sometimes sacrifices for our benefit, often sacrifices for the benefit of others. Through some of those sufferings, God will teach us how to be good soldiers and how to minister to others and how to encourage that brother and that sister who is going through a tough time, because he's gotten us through tough times. Thank God for those veterans. I mean, in war, there's a reason why there's a sergeant that is put over men because he's already been there. He's already paid a price. He's experienced life in a way that rookies have not experienced. And he tries to prepare them for their own sake. The Bible says, be strong, my son, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. None of us can be good soldiers without the grace of God. None of us. If you're looking at me and you're saying, well, I'd love to be that great soldier, but I'm not able to. Well, join the club. No one is. That's why we rely upon the grace of God. That's why we rely upon Him when the bullets are flying past us. And sometimes those bullets are words and attitudes. But when they're flying past us, we just have to trust the grace of God. That nothing will ultimately harm us and that all things will ultimately work for our good. So we, as a good soldier, we don't give up. If you quit serving as a soldier when the bullets fly, you're not a soldier. You're a fake. Our trust is in the grace of God. He enables us to be good soldiers. Right after that, he says, therefore, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Hey, if it was a victory parade, you wouldn't need the grace of God. But life is not a victory parade. Oh, we celebrate victories. Just like we celebrate birthdays, but every day is not your birthday. Now, when you're a kid, you think, man, I wish every day was Christmas and my birthday. But it's not that way, because we forget that somebody paid a price for that Christmas and birthday. And at some point in our life, we're going to have to pay that price for someone else. No. There's some suffering. There's some hardship. There's some difficulties that you're just naturally going to go through in this world because we live in a condemned world. But he says the grace of God is sufficient. And so he says, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What is a good soldier? We already talked about that. Do not be entangled in the affairs of this life, but seek to please the Lord who enlisted you as a soldier. Boy, you could spend about a half hour just preaching about that. I don't think you have to give up living in this world to be a Christian. But you can't allow anything in this world to become so important to you that it undermines your position as a soldier in God's kingdom, or it undermines your relationship with God. You can't, it doesn't matter what it is. You know, when Jesus said those words that just stunned his audience, unless you love me more than father and brother, and father and mother rather, brother and sister, unless you love me more than them, unless you love them less. Actually, the one translation says, unless you hate them. But the actual translation is to love them less. Unless you love them less than you love me, then you can't be my disciple. When he talks about not allowing the affairs of this world to entangle you, it's not just even talking about sin. It's just talking about letting anything you're going through keep you from being faithful to the call of God upon your life. You know, we want to get all of our ducks in a row so that we can serve God comfortably. You know, the anointing doesn't come while you're sitting still. The anointing comes while you're working. In fact, someone, I can't even remember who it was now, but there was a wise person that said one time that revelation comes when you're working, not when you're just sitting around thinking. It's while you're doing productive things that our mind gets engaged and the Spirit of God can begin to minister to us and give us revelation. So faithful we should be as a soldier of the Lord, and not let the affairs of this life, not anything
keep us from the call that is upon our life. If we are called to be soldiers in God's army, then don't lag behind. Don't shirk your duty. Don't compromise to escape the battle. How many times do we put up with crap? Because we just don't want to pay the price to see something through. And it's easy to compromise. Don't refuse to carry your responsible load. Don't give in. Don't give up in the heat of the battle. Don't deny the cause. Don't believe the lie that you're not making a difference. Don't disobey God's word. Don't hide from your responsibility. And be willing to suffer for the cause of Christ, for what is right. You will not only gain and maintain your freedom, but you will be instrumental in freeing others. As those who have gone before you have sacrificed and suffered, accept your duty to serve God and His church as a good soldier of the cross. Endure hardship and be faithful to the cause of Christ, and you will be rewarded for your service. Would you bow your head with me in prayer?